And that great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone out of the weight of a talent, about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this precious time. We thank you for your wonderful word, and I just ask, dear Father, that you'll guide us, lead us, and strengthen us each and every day. It's your power and it's your strength. We need, dear Father, your precious Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to come and to speak to our hearts today. It takes the Spirit of God to bring us to salvation. It takes the Spirit of God to teach us your precious word. And a believer possesses your precious Spirit in our hearts. And so please, today, that you come and meet with us in a strong and mighty way, that the Spirit of God will have its perfect will, and we'll learn your way and will as we look through these most horrible times here upon earth. And Father, we know that not one person has to go through that. And yet we know multitudes will, because they are disobedient. They refuse to trust in you. So please, dear Lord, today, speak to our hearts. We may hear from you. Those that are here, dear Lord, that are lost, the Spirit of God, too, will speak in a different way, not from the heart, but from the outside, and will convict you of your sin and bring you to a place of repentance. That's our prayer. That's our hope. So please, dear Lord, today, that the lost will get saved and the saved will grow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We got to the place last week at kind of the end of the 17th verse. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done. It is done." We talked last week just a little bit about a statement that is similar to that, but much different, and the result is much different, because Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished." And those words were wonderful words of redemption for our soul, if we'll just come by faith to the Lord Jesus. The perfect sacrifice was offered on that day, and Jesus took our sins away if we'll just trust in him by faith. What a wonderful day that is for all. And yet there will be multitudes will hear these words, "It is done." And it is done. This is the last and final vial to be poured out. The judgment on earth is coming to a close, is finished. Christ is about to rid this earth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. We said last week that the contents of this little sealed book has finally all been poured out. And it will, as we continue with the explanations and to understand it with the additional chapters that are to come, but all has been poured out. Final judgment has come. Every detail's been carried out. The whole creation at last will stop groaning and travailing, as the Scripture tells us back in Romans. And I want to go back to Romans. I said that we're going to really be using our Scripture today in looking to references. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 21 through verse 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. It says, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The church, when it's raptured, all those that had to go into the grave that were saved, that were born again, they'll receive their glorified bodies. And then we which are alive will meet the Lord in the air, and too we will receive our glorified bodies. But this old earth will stay and remain with the groaning, with the curse that was placed upon it. But there's a day that will come to a close and come to an end. With this seventh vial being poured out, there'd never be a time ever in history that there'll be such confusion and such chaos upon this earth. You look through history, and history is a good teacher, because you can look to history and learn by their successes and by their mistakes what to do and what not to do. This will be a time that has never been before, nor will be ever repeated, the time that we're looking at right here. This last pouring out of this vial, the whole universe will be in such a turmoil and a confusion that's never been before. It's emptied out onto the air, this 17th verse says. The air will go into a time of convulsions, and we kind of talked about that in earlier verses, convulsions. And if you've seen anyone that's an epileptic that has epilepsy, they will have convulsions, and they're uncontrollable when they move. I have been around several folks through the years that have had that, and it is something that is kind of scary if you don't know what's going on. If you do, you know what to do and can keep them safe until it's over. Well, it's going to be the same way here upon this earth. It's going to be a time of fear and of worry, and they're going to be scared literally to death because of what's going on as the earth begins to do some things. And the scripture tells us that the mountains will move, the islands will flee away. I mean, this earth is going to go into a shaking time that has never been seen before, and so the world is not prepared for that. It'll be done through a form of thunder and lightnings and earthquakes. This judgment that's coming, it is not something that has not been foretold. And that's the reason I kind of stopped where I did last week, is because I want to go through these verses of Scripture. And we're going to begin with Psalms 102. And so please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 102. This time of warning has been told very clearly of what's to come. This psalm here is to our day about 3,000 years old, and so folks have had 3,000 years to get right, and yet they continue to deny it and reject it. 105, verse 25 and 26, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed." Now let's go to the book of Isaiah. Psalms, Proverbs, you're close there. Isaiah chapter 51 to begin with. Isaiah 51, and this is just a few of the verses of Scripture that make man aware of what's to come. Psalm 51, verse 6, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished. There's only one way, and that's through the precious blood of Jesus, as we speak often. Let's turn back now to chapter 29 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 6. Isaiah 29, verse 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. We have many verses of Scripture. Let's go now to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 25 and 26. See that ye refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. That verse of Scripture is very clear. Refuse not him that speaks. We need to listen. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. We need to listen to the word of God, and salvation needs to come. Go to 2 Peter with me, if you would, please. 2 Peter, chapter 3. We're going to read 10 verses of this. I had just verses 10, verse 10 to begin with, but builds up to it so you can see what we're talking about. Listen to what is said here in Peter some 2,000 years ago. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us that the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then the 10th verse, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. As we read from the first verse down, you'll find that there are scoffers. There are those that say there is no truth to it. He has not come. He's not going to come. He will come. And as he speaks, there is one day being 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And we are in the final days, because if we look at the time, there's 4,000 years prior to the birth of Christ, 2,000 years now. Now, if you want to count that, we're to 6 days. And we've got a 1,000-year millennial reign coming. And so there's your seventh day. He's going to come, and he's going to come soon. And we better be ready, and we better be prepared. And as they scoff at his coming and his vengeance, his wrath to be poured out, so did they in the days of Noah. They did the same thing. And the scripture here covers that. Wherefore the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They didn't listen then either. And all those that didn't listen went to the place of torment and are awaiting the final judgment. All those that have died without the Lord Jesus since that time have followed course. They too are in the place of torment and will await the final judgment. There is a special judgment and wrath that's going to be poured out in the last days, in the seven-year tribulation. And I believe that the reason that they have to suffer not only here, but then eternity through the lake of fire, is because there has been so much light shown since Jesus went to the cross. And when he finished that work on the cross, and the Holy Spirit came here upon this earth to live in each believer, there has been so much light shown, and yet multitudes continue to reject that light and go another way. They seem to think there is another way and another plan. Well, the more light that you're shown, the more is going to be your judgment. The greater judgment you're going to receive, the more wrath of God is going to come upon you if you have been shown great light. I know folks that have heard the gospel over and over and over again and continue to reject that light. Their judgment is going to surpass any murderer that you've read about, or mass murder. It doesn't. They've heard it, and they've heard the light, and yet they have rejected it. They have rejected it over and over again. Again, this is not new. We can look back to history, and we find that the same reports were given, that he's not going to come, judgment's not going to come, no matter what Noah preached. They didn't pay any attention. And I believe when the last saint that was on earth died, God closed the door on the ark with Noah and his sons and their wives, and judgment started. And that's going to be exactly the same way when the tribulation starts. We're leaving. All born-again believers will be raptured up. We will not be here. There's not even going to be any bodies in the grave that are saints left through this time. They too will be gone, and they'll be in the presence of the Lord. And then judgment will come, just as it did in Noah's day. Just as it did in Noah's day. Judgment. It has been brought to our attention for all these years. We go back to 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. We go back these years and years and years speaking of this judgment that's to come. The devil knows his time is short. That's the reason he works so hard today. The kingdom of Satan is crumbling. And we're going to look at that when we get to the 17th chapter. This prince of the and power of the air has been in control for 6,000 years. His rule is over. His rule is over. The elements that he controlled will begin to turn on him. And the very air the very life that's here, everything as we know, that the air, the sun, the moon, the skies, everything that we know is going to turn against him. Man has worried for years who owns, who possesses the atomic bomb. Because if someone that is not in their right mind would get a hold of an atomic bomb, it could wipe out the whole world. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What's going to go on in the skies with the sun and the moon will also happen here upon earth. Isaiah chapter 2. Turn with me there. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. They shall go into the holes. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 19. They shall go into the holes of the rocks, into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks, into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of His majesty, when He arises to shake terribly the earth. Convulsions. The earth will be in convulsions. This world needs to change their thinking. They don't need to worry about an atomic bomb being dropped on us from somebody. They need to worry about the eternal God that they've ignored. That's what they need to worry about. Verse 19, and that great city was divided into three parts. Cities and the nations fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And that great city is Jerusalem. Other cities are totaled, but Jerusalem is partially left. An earthquake so powerful will level all the earth, will level everything. But Jerusalem will be protected from total ruin. Turn just a couple of pages back to Revelation chapter 11. The city's measured. Chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. The angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. There's a section that's protected. The earthquake will be so strong that it's going to split Mount Olives in two. It's going to happen when Jesus comes and plants His feet here. You see, He's coming. He's coming. He's bringing this judgment. Let's look back to Zechariah. Find Haggai, you'll find Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. I think I have a 14 in here. There we go. Zechariah 14, verse 4. His feet shall stand in that day upon Mount Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and Mount Olives shall cleave to the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half towards the south. And that cleave means to literally break open, to rip open. And then if you just go, mine's on the same page, 13 verses 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but a third shall be left therein. And I will bring a third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, as we look at those two verses of Scripture, we find the third and the two-thirds. As we come back here, the city should be divided into three parts. And so, again, we take Scripture after Scripture to enjoy this. When all this is happening, and we look at these verses of Scripture, we find that the fierceness is poured out. Zechariah, as he speaks of this, I believe that is the time we're looking at. Not only Jerusalem will be split into three parts, but it says that the cities of the nations fall. The cities of the nations. New York, in its strength, New York City, in its all its mighty buildings, and in its, you know, with two airplanes, we lost two buildings. That whole city is going to be leveled. We get emails from the website from Rome and from London. We get them from Egypt. Cairo, Egypt will be leveled. The city of Rome, London, England. We have someone comes to us quite often from London. They'll hit our website. Be leveled. All the cities, Chicago, San Francisco. There's not going to be a city, not one city in all the world that's going to stand through this. It's all going to be leveled. And not only will this happen, and the destruction and the death that comes with it, this is the end. This is it, the end of the system that the devil has set up. It's coming to an end, and God is judging and bringing judgment to this earth and to the occupants of the earth that followed after him. Those that chose, that made the choice of the to take the number of the beast, those that chose to worship the beast and not the Lord, you know, they chose the number, not the blood. They should have received the precious blood of Jesus. They should have worshiped the Lamb of God, not the Antichrist. But they made the wrong choice. What destruction. Next comes Babylon. Babylon came in remembrance before. Now, this Babylon is a city. It was a city, but it also is more than that. It is the Gentile rule. And it started really back with Nebuchadnezzar back in Babylon when he took Judah into captivity. And it remains from that time all the way till the day that we're talking about here, the days of the Gentiles. And so Babylon is really the rule of Satan. And so now it has lasted all these years, but it's coming to an end. Go with me back to Daniel. Ezekiel, Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, we're going to read verses 34 and 35 and then verse 44. And so Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. Now, if you're not familiar with this, we're not going to take time today, but go back and read it, and I hope that we can spark your interest enough today that you'll do that, and the Spirit will have you go home and read this. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Over to verse 44, if you would, please. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Just a little bit of history for you here. Daniel received a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and Daniel was the only one that could tell what the dream was, because Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember it. You know, tell me the dream, and I'll tell you the answer to it. And he says, "You tell me the dream and the answer." Well, God told Daniel, and then Daniel brings it to the king. Now, this is King Nebuchadnezzar, and King Nebuchadnezzar is in the scripture here, stands for gold, and Daniel tells him, and it comes to pass. Nebuchadnezzar is destroyed. The gold is crushed. Then comes the Medes and Persians. They're next in rule, next in command. That's the ones now under Nebuchadnezzar's when Israel goes into captivity for 70 years. Under the Medes and Persians, they're given allowed to go back. The Medes and Persians stand for the silver. And then we come to Greece. That's the next in command. That's the brass. They are destroyed by Rome, and Rome is iron. And then there's one left that's still to come, and that's the iron and the clay. And as you look at the statue, that starts with the head, and we've just ended with the feet. And that's what Daniel received. And so when we read this, and it talks about the iron and the clay being crushed, it is all a result of what's taking place. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If Daniel was able to give the word back 2,600 years ago to a man that was still alive, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon was still in control, yet they were destroyed just as Daniel said, as God had told Daniel. Medes and Persians, they were next in rule. How did Daniel know that? God showed him. They were destroyed. The next was Greece. They too destroyed the Medes and Persians. They were destroyed. Next was Rome. Rome has not really been totally destroyed. It has lost its power and its strength, but it will return in kind of a mixture of power with the iron and the clay. Rome is iron. So Daniel was saying something that was going to take place all in the future, every bit of it, because Nebuchadnezzar had not even been destroyed at that time. If Daniel was right with the Medes and Persians, was right with Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, why wouldn't we think then he would be right today? Because you see, he was right with the Medes and Persians. He was right with Greece. He was right with Rome. I believe that makes him a true prophet. Somebody we ought to listen to. And so you see, when he says here, back in Revelation 16, that Babylon came in remembrance before God, it started there, and it stretched all through time until this day, and will till the close of the seven-year tribulation. But then, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. When this comes about, every island fled away. The mountains were not found. There fell upon men great hail out of the heavens, every stone, every hailstone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God. The technology, the time, the research, the billions of dollars that have been spent just for our defense to keep us safe. You know, we have that stealth bomber that you don't hear it. You hear it after it's gone. What technology? They got a drone now that somebody with a little joystick flies across and drops bombs on the enemy. We don't even have to lose personnel, the danger of losing soldiers. Our technology has taken us from 10,000 soldiers dying on the battlefield to 10 dying on the battlefield. But nothing that man has come up with the billions of dollars, God's not going to use any of that. All the planes and the ships and the bombs that have been made, no. God's going to come down and he's going to speak and all this is going to happen. And the world as we know it is going to cease to exist. In this 20th verse, every island fled away and the mountains were not found. This is due to this verse 19, the end of it there, the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Once again, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 4. I told you we was going to be in the scripture today. Jeremiah chapter 4. You found Isaiah earlier, why it's not far behind that or after that. Jeremiah chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 23 through verse 26. And I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. And I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. Once again, that's 2,600 years ago. 2,600 years. How many generations have heard those words, or should have heard those words, knowing it was coming? We look at these mighty hailstones. In just looking up in the dictionary, I find that a talent in Egypt is 86 pounds. All right. A Jewish talent at this time was 115 pounds. A talent in Athens, Greece, was 390 pounds. I think if I read this correctly, each hailstone weighs a talent. Do we want to just kind of average it out and call it 100? 100 pounds. 100 pounds. What took place when all this happened? Did they bow down before God? The 21st verse says, and men blaspheme God. Blaspheme God. Now, the word blaspheme through the scripture has several different meanings to it. It doesn't necessarily mean just to curse God. That would be part of it. But to blaspheme God is to speak against him. Just to speak against him. To degrade God. With irreverence for God or contempt for his authority. Think think of this world and how they speak against God. Think of their irreverence and the contempt that they, the way they teach, the way they treat God. That's blasphemy. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail. Why not trust in Him? You could say that the wicked during this time has won the prize. And I'll tell you the prize they've won. You know, you would watch all these shows and there's always a winner. Well, everybody that has decided to trust in the beast and accept the mark instead of trusting in the Lamb and trusting in His blood, they will receive the prize. And the prize they have won is running odorous sores, a sea that's changed to blood, changed to the blood of dead men. Also the fountains, the rivers turn to blood. Then God turns the heat up, and then God turns the lights off in the universe. And all is shaken. From the first seal in Revelation chapter 6 to the last vial in 16:17, every phase of judgment has become more severe. One more verse of Scripture and we're going to close. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And when He opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Do you remember when we were talking about that silence? The horror was so tremendous that all of heaven was silent for a half hour because they saw what was coming. And we've just looked at it. And we're going to continue. The 17th chapter continues in explaining a little bit more as this goes. And so we'll pick up there in a couple of weeks. But please, silence. They saw it. They were speechless for a half hour. We need to know Jesus as our Savior. What a time. What a horrible time upon this earth. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank and praise You that we can come today and enjoy this time. And when I say enjoy it, dear Father, it is something that the world hates. It hates these words. It hates what's to come. But the reason that it can be joy to a believer is because, dear Father, we know You're right. We don't question Your judgment. We don't question as Your wrath is poured out here because mankind deserves it. You have given an opportunity that is so available to everybody. It's free. We just come by faith, and to come by faith to You is You do all the work. You've done the work on the cross for us. You've shed Your precious blood. You've went home to be with the Father, sitting on the right hand of the throne right now. And dear Father, you have taken care of everything for us, and then You even send the Holy Spirit down to knock on our heart's door and show us, as we read the Word of God, the truths of it, that we are evil, we are wicked, and we need a Savior. All we have to do is say yes. Oh, dear Father, how simple can that be? That's the reason for such severe judgment, because they have denied You and cursed Your name and spoken evil of You. Even said You don't even exist. We're finding today that the laws and the governing powers of this country, they're going to see Your hand of judgment. They're going to experience, because they have denied You. Father, I thank you that we can be saved as an individual just by coming to you. So please, if there be anybody here today that's not born again, that they call on you today for salvation. Thank you, dear Father, for this opportunity to proclaim your word. I thank you for your strength. Now please guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.